Last night, as I kissed my daughter's forehead, she felt hot. Now, in normal times, I just think teenager, day in the sun, no big deal. But this, of course, is not a normal time. And so I thought immediately of the virus and my daughter's fragile life, all of our fragile lives, my heart. It's become a common enough occurrence to wonder about disease or illness as we get ready for bed that I've developed already a kind of automatic response in my head. Just say to myself, all we can do is wait for the morning and see what happens. So I went to bed, and of course, this morning she woke up and she was ready for the day as ever. So we go on. Yesterday, I read two articles that took this kind of thinking to a whole new level. The first was about ventilators and what recovery looks like post-ventilator. I mean, when recovery happens, which isn't often enough. This article, it encouraged people to consider, like, do you really want to be put on a ventilator? If it comes to that, the second article was about what happens to kids when their parents get seriously ill. This one encouraged parents to think about a plan for their kids, like just in case. My first response to both of these, just so you know how my mind works, was to think about what kind of program or gathering we should offer for the church. What kind of conversations about all of these? What education or what emotional or spiritual support the community would need? Only second, I brought it up to my partner to talk about us, our answers. It took all the way to today before I broke down sobbing. In normal times, Unitarian Universalists, we are often accused of skipping ahead to Easter. I mean, we like life after all, renewal, hope. We skip over those days leading up to Easter. On the other hand, all that grief and loss, that death, that is actually what people tend to think makes Easter such good news. But like I said, this is not a normal time. And so this year we meet Easter seeped in death. We didn't skip over anything. News and numbers and this question of when will we reach peak deaths? I mean, we're so filled with news of death. I spent a lot of time over the past few weeks wondering what Easter even means at this time. This time where it feels like we're all stuck in Good Friday and Holy Saturday, the days, when Jesus has died and there's no sense that there's anything other than that truth, that reality of death. For those that loved him and followed him, Jesus was a singular sign of hope for the hopeless. He was a liberator for the oppressed, a healer, a great healer. For him to have died, it was like more than unthinkable. It was devastating. Everything they knew about what survival meant, what should mean, what life should mean, was taken away. The whole world was just in a moment just turned upside down. Because of all of this, one of my colleagues actually decided to postpone her church's Easter celebration this year. Easter comes when we're back in the same room, she decided, when the stories of death have faded. This moment we're in, this is not a time for Easter. Now, I love my colleague. I respect her. And I totally get why she has decided this. But also, she is wrong. Because this time, this diseased time, this time of death and fear, this is what the story and the promise of Easter is made for. See, in real time, in the moments after Jesus's death, there was no coherent story. They didn't know why the tomb was empty. There was just confusion. There was that uncertainty, fear, grief, disorientation, and that was for a really long time, for decades. But over those years, the community began to find a way. They began to understand, found a way to go on. And ultimately, they offered their understanding as a gift for people across centuries and cultures who also would find themselves in times where everything they've ever known is turned upside down, where grief and loss and death feels like it could be the end of the story, like they're caught in it forever. This gift, their understanding, is the story of Easter that we know today. A story told in the way that it is, not because they didn't know the pain of death and uncertainty, but because they absolutely knew. And also because they came to know, as we all come to know, that loss does not have the last word. That life finds a way to persist, that we will find a way to persist. And so when they go back and they tell the story, they don't tell it the way it happened to them exactly. They don't let years go between death and new life. They get that stone rolled away and the empty tomb declared right as the community is coming to terms with the loss, because they know we can't hold life off. Life always has to be now, because joy is not a luxury. Joy is essential. Like Thoreau, you know, he talked about figuring out the essential facts of life, and joy is an essential fact of life. And so my question in these days of Easter, is in what ways we can awaken even now to joy. Even now, to life as it continues. Allow joy to be born, even now. Which doesn't, of course, mean that everything is joyful, or that we must make what is horrible into something good, or pretend that we are not devastated and grief-stricken. It's just more believing that joy and life can be here too. That joy is a survival strategy. Easter Sunday, right up against Holy Saturday. The rising and the falling and the rising again. Which brings me to another truth, an important truth in this story, which is that the rising, when it happened, was not simply like a returning to life as it was before, just go back to life as it was. Easter is a story of transformation. We will not be the same after all of this. We are already not the same. We already have mantras to respond to worries about our beloveds falling ill in the night. And already we know the sound of our neighbors howling at the moon. And already we know how much touch matters. Remember how Thomas needed to touch Jesus in order to believe that he was truly alive again, truly resurrected? We understand this now, like in new ways. We know how much touch matters, how much hugs mean, so that when we hug again, which we will, it will be such a sign of life returned, new life. We are already not the same, and there will be more changes to come. And so we need also to make space in these days for all of these changes, the changes in you, in us, these changes, as writer Aisha Ahmed has said, they will be honest, raw, ugly, hopeful, frustrated, beautiful, and divine. And they will be slower than we are used to. So be slow. Let all of this distract you. Let it change how you think and how you see the world. Because loving the world is our work. Like Mary Oliver says, our work is loving the world, courageously loving the world even in the midst of disease and anxiety, courageously loving life even as it is dying, courageously loving this world and ourselves into the world that longs still to be born anew. Or as Kendall Gibbons writes, this is all that faith means, all it has ever meant. The human willingness to rebuild the shattered world. And knowing that we know, knowing what we know now, doing better this time. So this Easter, let us keep the faith to continue on with our work, courageously loving this world back to life. Amen. Blessed be.